listening to What We Do in Elysium, your source for news, strategy, and discussion for Vampire the Masquerade Rivals card game. Welcome, listeners. I am your host, Alex.
And I'm your other host, Colin.
And this, I think this will be the last episode of 2021.
Yes, time has flown, I suppose.
Yes, very, very far. How is your holiday season going so far?
Pretty good so far. I'm making the trip back to the familial homeland this week, back to Texas, which is where I'm from. So, you know, obviously looking forward to that. Other than that, I mean, it still doesn't really feel like the week before Christmas. If it's hadn't even been cold this week, it's been warm.
Yeah, it was 60 degrees in Chicago this week.
Yep. But I mean, I think I've got pretty much all the prep and everything done. So it's just waiting for the time. Looking forward to the time off. How about you?
Yeah, about the same. Family celebrates Christmas. So this year have finally got myself out and like did all my Christmas shopping in like November. So like, having that weight not on me the days before is very nice.
Indeed, yes. I've definitely still have some things to get when I get back to Texas, but
cutting that one close.
Well, you know, it's fine. I mean, that's like, you know, cigars.
Probably don't want to fly with stuff.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It's all pretty easy stuff, and that's Amazon has been nice, just getting stuff shipped straight to my parents' house, so that I don't have to worry about bringing it with or anything.
Yep. That's the smart way to do it. Okay, so as this is our sort of year-end episode, we kind of wanted to do a, I guess we can call it a rivals story. So we want to talk about the past, present, and future of our current favorite game.
Yeah, call it the Rivals Christmas Carol.
Rivals Christmas Carol. With how that starts, we can jump back to the past. For me, the earliest I started getting really into Rivals was, I think, Season Zero was. I think that was February.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I take that back, because I forgot this game was actually kickstarted. So I did know about the Kickstarter, but I did not back it.
Yeah, when we were starting to prep this episode, I was thinking back and I was trying to remember how I learned about the Kickstarter. I think it was just one of the Chicago crew had heard of it,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, kind of threw it out on the local Discord or something. And I look at it and a few of us are backing it. And I think that's kind of how I got into it, because I was like, oh, okay, cool. Some other locals, a card game, some other locals might be playing. Sounds interesting. And so I did back it. But like you, I think when I really first started to get into it was when I played in the Season Zero, you know, on Tabletopia kind of pre-release tournament they had. We had an episode about it, if you don't know what it was. But it was basically just like using the pre-constructed decks, play a couple games online, you know, like once a week or whatever, more as a way of kind of building hype and getting people to check out the game.
Yeah, because, I mean, at the time we were a year into the pandemic, so shipping issues are pretty much started to rear their head. So the game itself was a little ways off. I didn't kickstart it at all, so I was only really playing off of the knowledge of the Season Zero. Luckily, the game store that I usually go to, they backed a bunch of copies, so I lucked out and didn't miss anything. But yeah, waiting for that was after the Season Zero League definitely got my interest going. I think that's kind of what got our interest in doing the show. We kept like joking about it for a while. Like, oh yeah, we'll start a podcast. And then we like, are we doing it? And we're like, yeah, sure.
yeah, exactly. Yeah, we did. We kind of bandied about the idea back then, because I think the Season Zero was what got sort of the strategy talk started, and it you know, brought back the memories of, like, for me, at least playing Thrones and listening to podcasts and everything. And I always enjoyed that. So, yeah, that's really, I think, what got us into, like you said, not just the game, but also this podcast. So it's kind of cool to remember those days. I went back on the Discord today and looked at, you know, the messages we had. I saw when I posted about, or I think you asked me, like, so are we actually doing this? And I was like, oh yeah, that, that's what that was. Yeah.
It's funny. Yeah. I mean, I was still playing, when season zero started, I was either still playing Legend of the Five Rings or recently got killed. I can't remember the exact timeline for that. But I think the game was kind of dead in my heart anyway, with yeah, kind right. of how the development went and like COVID and all that stuff. So like the game was like super dead at that point. There's still a fan continuation going, so if you don't know about that, check that out. But yeah, that's so that I needed a new competitive card game. So season zero was like the perfect timing for me. So I was very happy and impressed with how the game was. I didn't think I was going to like it at first because it was multiplayer. Even though the season zero was 1v1 anyway, I could tell how it was going to be different than other multiplayer games. So
yeah. Yeah, and that was fun, too. I mean, I remember the early days when the core set came out, you know, and we actually met up a few times. I know you and I met up with somebody and played a game. I think that was, like, the first.
Yeah, that was the first time I, yep. That was the first time I played in person during COVID, and that was the first time I had really played the game from the core set.
Yeah, and I remember you got just totally screwed over with uniqueness and sad.
Yes, yeah. I think by the time it came around to my turn, there was like four sad out, and I was just holding on for dear life.
Yep. yeah, it's funny to think back on some of those games and like how much I think both the thinking and the game has evolved, you know, since then. But I mean, I do. I remember those days and. We played, I played with some other, you know, again, some other Chicago people. And like, kind of like you said, I was more interested in it from a 1v1 perspective, but I enjoyed the multiplayer, I think more than not, maybe not more than I thought I would exactly, but, it was definitely not a given that I was going to want to play multiplayer. And I ended up liking that a lot, which was really, really good, you know, and nice to see.
Yeah. It's weird how you're, notions get completely upended.
Right.
So let's see, timeline wise Corset was out for a bit. I think the game came out in May.
Yeah, that fits with my recollection. Is that
I think
got...
EU UK got it a little early, but generally like April May ish is when the game came out. And then Blood and Alchemy got previewed. I don't remember if it was previewed like after the game came out or they were just keeping the hype train rolling.
I think it was I want to say it was first previewed between like right around when the core stuff shipped.
Okay.
Is my recollection. I don't know, again, maybe right before, maybe right after, but kind of right around then was when, you know, because I mean like always they sort of did the like, hey, leaders, and you know, and then because I'm pretty sure that the Kickstarter for Blood and Alchemy came like right after the core set came out.
Yeah, it was pretty close. I think we'll just call it either release time or soon before or soon after. But how do you think the like, weird to evaluate it that way, but how do you think the expansion did?
It was good. I think it was a good expansion for first of all. I mean, we've, you know, and obviously we've talked about this before, but I still find the Thin Bloods a little bit of a weird clan, just like thematically, to be in the first expansion. But
yeah,
but you know, I do think that Blood and Alchemy kind of fleshed out the core set. You know, we've talked about, I think you were the one that really came up with, you felt like Blood and Alchemy was the continuation of the core set in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And I think that's true. You know, I think it was good. It was a good first expansion. It was, you know, fleshing stuff out, letting it breathe, giving you a few more options, with some interesting, you know, stuff and twists on its own, right? Like, you know, it's not that it was literally just more of the same. I mean, obviously you have Thin Bloods and you have rituals, which are new mechanics. So.
Yeah. I think like you said, thematically, it's kind of weird to have this like super small faction that's generally despised in the rest of the world. And I think that was kind of the consensus from the like diehard vampire players, like, you know, why are we getting Thin Bloods already? But mechanically, I think it was smart because they're just so easy to splash for the other main clans.
Right.
So I think that's probably the biggest reason why they were there, more than thematics. Like, obviously, their thematics are still mechanically linked with, like, alchemies and stuff. Like, it still works. They weren't just shoehorned in just cuz.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. I haven't really, I actually, it's interesting because, like, I really liked what the Tremere playstyle looked like out of the spoilers and stuff. But I just haven't really found them to click yet with their actual, like, gameplay. Like, I like some of the individual characters and what they do, like, by themselves, but, like, the whole, like, ritual package, I don't know what's coming for the future, like, if we're gonna revisit any of the stuff like that.
Right.
I would definitely be interested to revisit it, but, like, right now, I just don't think it's quite there.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
Which is fine. When, I mean, you introduce a new mechanic, it's not going to be a home run, like, right off the bat. And if it is, that might be problematic.
Right. Well, and I think it's also probably fair to say that you can kind of tell, again, I think more in retrospect from now, you can kind of see that the core at Blood and Alchemy, that the design team is still sort of figuring out how good certain concepts are, where they want things to be. And that's probably to be expected, right? I mean, I think a great example of that is some of the errata, like the one in particular I'm thinking of is the errata to the Conspiracy Haven, where they, you know, they took away the exhaust cost. Because it's tough to judge all of that, you know, before it's ever in the wild. And right. So I think it totally makes sense that, like, they're still sort of trying to find what I would say is, like, finding the balance between, you know, okay, how good do we want aggro aggressive decks to be? How good do we want, you know, the stuff like conspiracies to be? Where's the balance? How do they play? How do they interact? You know, I think it's definitely fair to say that the first couple sets, you can tell that, and again, not in a bad way, but you can tell that they're still feeling out that balance.
Yeah, and, like, when you have a playtesting group, you can only get so many games in, especially with a small company. It's probably a small playtesting group. I think Season Zero was, like, a stroke of genius for them on, like, a couple different levels, because A, they could, like, exponentially grow their playtest data, because I think that there was a good amount of people in the Season Zero League, and it also, you know, kept the hype going because, you know, they were experiencing some delays, but having that online tournament, getting that data, keeping the hype alive, I think that was a really smart move. I don't know if that was, like, how far in advance they planned that, if it was just a happy coincidence or not, but really good idea.
Yeah, totally agree.
All right, so then we come to we finally, after talking for months about the game, and we finally actually got to play it at Gen Con.
Yes.
It was very fun couple days.
It was. I mean, for one thing, it was the first really major tournament. You know, I know we'd had a couple local events up in Wisconsin, one or two by that point. I don't remember. You know, I know there'd been some other sort of very, you know, small events, which are cool. Again, like that's also cool, right? But this was the first quote unquote competitive tournament, you know, big tournament anywhere, as far as I'm aware. So that was pretty cool. And then also, you know, it was their first chance to get an OP event, and for us to kind of see, okay, what is Renegade's OP look like, you know? So how do you think they did?
I think they did good overall. There were a couple, like, kind of head scratchers that came up during play, like with the couple last minute decisions that I didn't quite agree with because they were last minute. But it wasn't anything that, like, I don't think ruined anyone's day or anything like that. So I give them an A.
I think that's pretty fair. I mean, like you said, there was definitely some things I didn't get, but they were also all fairly minor things to me, right? Like, it was, you know, I've been through some like cut size changing the day of the event type of thing.
Ooh.
That's always a big, you know, that's not a good thing.
Someone's right? going to feel bad about that.
Yeah. So, there was nothing like that here. You know, I thought the prizing was excellent. I Top thought notch. That the variety of events, like the pre-release was really cool. You know, I'm not sure they're going to do that again. Cause I know it was sort of a AVO kind of a special thing. And I know they like specially shipped in the Wolf and Rat, and then with it being delayed, that was kind of a thing, you know, but even without that, the pre-release was cool. The side events were cool. Like they did a good job of kind of having a consistent presence, whether or not you like were playing in the big event or not. You know, I mean, I know a lot of people that came by hadn't really played before and played in either the pre-release or you know, some of the side pods or whatever, which is great. It's great to see.
Yeah, they ran a ton of demos. And I saw brand new players just picking up the game and starting up pods, which, like, if you would have asked me if I would have thought people would do that, I would have been like, no, it's just like, I think the game is like a little too niche for, like, I know Vampire is a big thing, but like a Vampire card game, I wouldn't have expected that kind of output, but I think it's absolutely great.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Which is, I think, you know, a good thing. It shows that the game is pretty approachable and people are interested, which is nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And then this is still ongoing. This is kind of past, present, and future.
Yes. I think this is what's going to lead us up into the present. And
yeah. So dealing with multiple shipping issues. Dun, dun, dun.
Yes. That's definitely been an ongoing thing, you know, yeah, over this first year.
Blood and Alchemy was like a comedy of errors.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, I for one thing, I mean, I think first we got to start by saying it's like, this is not by any means a problem specific to Renegade. This is a global thing, obviously.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But then Renegade seems like they've just gotten hit by weird, you know, Murphy's Law type of events.
Yeah. It's like the world is working against them.
Yeah. Because it was, yeah, first it was Blood and Alchemy. Literally the truck broke down on the way to like the distribution center, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I think because they said it was somewhere, close to the Chicago area, because we joked about going and finding it.
Yeah, it was somewhere like between Milwaukee and here, so like within an hour and a half drive. But yeah, I know Matt Holland was like, "Are you serious? Like, right. Is this really happening?"
Yep. And then I know that just recently, their like Alliance got hit with, I think, a ransomware, and that's affected some of their shipments.
Yeah, I didn't hear about that until it got brought up. which is just crazy.
Yep. And I think too, there was something recently about the EU, or I think maybe specifically the UK, about, you know, how their shipping partner there had like moved warehouses and just kind of wasn't holding up their end of the bargain quite as much. So again, obviously we have no insight into any of those specific situations. But it does, from what I've been able to gather, from my perception is, I guess, and I would assume you have a similar one, is that it seems like, you know, they're doing the best they can. Obviously, it's kind of a smaller operation. They're doing the best they can. And it seems like it's been kind of a combination of weird effects and just the global state of shipping right now, which obviously, you know, doesn't make it feel any better when you can't get product in your hands. But I don't think it's that they don't care, right? I think that's pretty clearly not happening.
No, and we see that publicly on the Discord. Like, people will say, like, "Hey, does anyone know like what's going on?" And like Matt will chime in, like kind of give like a quick status update, and he'll always offer, you know, reach out to the customer service. And as far as I've heard from not only this game, but I've jumped into some of the other Power Rangers games from Renegade. Everyone, it feels like old FFG customer service,
right? Yeah,
before Asmodee ruined it. So yeah, I think at this point, any company that deals with a lot of shipping is just basically in rolling with the punches mode. And I think Renegade's doing a good job with that.
Right. Yeah, for sure. So they, like you said, that kind of brings us up to the present. I think Wolf and Rat has finally come out almost everywhere, if not everywhere. So what is your broad opinion on kind of, you know, state of the union, right, of Rivals right now? What is your kind of quick opinion?
State of the union.
Yeah.
I think Wolf and Rat introduced a lot of cool effects, cool cards. I mentioned this before. I like when things are introduced that like aren't just clear cut. This is a strong card. I like stuff that messes with how the game works. So there's a bit of that. There's a couple cards that are kind of worrying, and we've mentioned that too. But I don't think anything out there is like, oh my God, the game is already going downhill. I'm excited for the future. Even though we're talking about the present, I'm excited for where the game is at now. Since Wolf and Rat has come out kind of after getting delayed and such, during kind of the holiday season. So I haven't been able to get as many reps in as I would like. But I obviously still have that desire to do it. So I'm not like waiting for something new to come out. I'm always ready to play. So I think that's a good sign.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, I do. I kind of agree. I think Wolf and Rat adds some interesting stuff. And like you said, I think importantly, it adds some things. I mean, we've talked about, it adds some very strong cards, but in general, as a whole, I don't feel like it's like, oh man, Nosferatu and Gangrel are like so strong, so much stronger than anything we saw in the core set, right? Which I mean, is kind of a low bar, admittedly, because this is only the second expansion, and but still, it's nice to see that, it's not like, oh, massive power creep already or anything like that. I'm interested to see, in terms of what's going on right now, I'm interested to see what a meta right now would look like, because obviously all we have right now is basically the one big Gen Con data point, because we haven't had any other Prince events. They had to cancel the one, or I guess they didn't have to, but there was a lot of uncertainty, and so they didn't end up going to...
It was never officially announced.
Right, okay, sure. Good. That is a good point. They ended up not being able to follow through on the proposed plan, maybe is the best way of phrasing it, right? Because like you said, they had never officially announced it. They said they were interested and hopeful at running at something at PAX Unplugged, but they weren't able to do that. I know a lot of vendors, I think, didn't end up making it, sort of like Gen Con. Which is obviously, disappointing, totally understandable from their perspective. But it does mean that Gen Con's still been the only Prince. I know they said they wanted to do something East Coast wise at some point. Anyway, point being, right, we still only have the one event. So I'm interested to see what the actual meta is now. I think there's a lot out there. I want to play like you. I want to play more games. I'm interested in playing more games, which is a good sign, right? Like, yeah. I'm not over the game.
Yeah, and that's more points, I think, plus for Wolf and Rat is normally, I think, when a card game comes out, and this is also skewed by like old LCG models that I'm used to, where you get like a 60 card pack at a time, but I feel like there's a lot of different decks that I want to try out just from this one expansion. It's not like, okay, here's my deck that I already like. I'm going to change these three cards for these three cards. And here's my new, but basically same deck. I think there's a lot of new choices to be made. So that's exciting too.
Yeah, for sure. Also, one thing I've noticed, again, this is completely anecdotal, but I feel like I've noticed more newish person questions in the last month or so than I have at most times since basically back in the core set, when the core set was pretty new, which is encouraging to me. It hopefully means that people are picking up the game which is good. Obviously, more people playing is a good thing.
Yeah, I definitely think that that's happening too, not only in the Discord, but on Facebook. I almost said the Facebook. Oh God, I'm getting old.
Yep.
but yeah, I think even like I would think like the post Gen Con hype would be like died down from now. So obviously there's something, either it's getting out to more stores, there's more presence about it. I've seen more ads like run by Renegade. They just did like a big gift giveaway for Christmas, and Rivals and all the expansion packs was part of that. So I think, yeah, I think it's just reaching more eyes and people are getting more into it. So that's exciting to see.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, it is. It's good. People growing the game is good. So that being said, right? So that's where we are right now. So now, get the Ghost of Future. What do we expect to see? What do we want to see? So I guess, you know, we can start off by broad strokes. What do we kind of expect for the first, I don't know, half-ish of the year? Making it very clear, we have no, you know, we have no non-publicly available information, right? I want to make sure that that's clear off the bat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're not in the know. We don't have special podcast knowledge or anything like that.
Right, exactly.
We do know, and this has been stated, that we're probably going to be getting a new city deck in some form.
Right.
I don't know if that's going to be tied to an organized play structure, like in a kit, just a straight up product you can buy. We don't know.
Yep. Yeah, we don't know that, but we do know that they plan to have a new city deck, and in a different city, which is cool.
Yes.
You know, I think that's one of the things that's going to be cool as the game goes on is, I mean, A of all, it's always fun to get new cards and change things up. But it's also, to me, I'm just kind of interested to seeing how they take on different, you know, cities and some of the stuff. I mean, I know it's small, but like there's some definite San Francisco flavor in the current city deck. And so I'm interested to see how that translates to future city decks.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's important. And I think I mentioned before reading the Chicago by Night book, it definitely feels like there's like research done into how the setting of the game can be influenced by like the literal setting of a city. So I would hope to see that kind of same care taken and applied to this. So I'm excited for that too. Now, yeah. Do you think that, let's just say it's a product you can buy on the shelf. Do you think it's just going to be like a $20 pack with here's your new city deck? Or do you think that could contain something else?
My hope is that it comes packaged with something else, because that makes it feel like, if it's by itself, it sort of feels like, hey, if you want to play organized play, you have to buy this thing that you don't need to buy otherwise, which feels kind of bad. Yes. The flip side, of course, is if they package it as part of an expansion, and then it's like, well, I don't really care about the city deck, why am I paying extra? You know, or why is the city deck taking up part of my card? You know, da, da, da. I can kind of see either way, but I'm pretty sure I come down on the side of I hope it's packaged with something else so that, you know, it's more like, hey, you have this option. And I'm pretty sure that like people who play the game real casually just over a kitchen table wouldn't mind being like, oh, hey, now I can play in San Francisco or this other place. You know, it's not like they're going to feel like they're being shortchanged by getting an extra city they can play in.
Yeah. And it would help if we knew more about the lore of the game. Like, cause if I wonder if there would be like any clans that are like geographically unique to a certain city or something like that. Cause then it could make sense to have like two clans plus city because these clans are only in this city or something like that. I don't know if something like that exists, but that would be neat, I guess.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. You know, I mean, yeah, I don't remember if we've talked about this on the podcast. My personal preference would be sort of like a, kind of, you know, like not a revised core, because obviously I don't want to actually revise the core, but like a core type product once a year that has the new city deck and some extra stuff in it. Maybe not quite as big, you know, Yeah. But kind of a slightly bigger expansion with a new city deck to kick off the competitive season, and then a couple other expansions over the year, you know. And I know there's been a lot of talk about that on the Discord. I don't remember how much we talked about on the podcast. I know if we ever get around to doing a rotation episode, I think that would be a really good time to sort of talk about release and product. And so maybe we'll save the rotation episode until, you know, we have some idea of what they're doing with the new city deck. But you know, because all I think new city decks and rotation and that stuff all kind of ties in together. And at this point, we're still sort of waiting to see what the plan is.
Yeah, like we don't even know. So Wolf and Red is out. We don't even know what's coming next. At this point, we knew Blood and Alchemy was coming, so we kind of had that safety net. But this time, we're totally in the dark. Right. And maybe it's probably just timing of like holidays and stuff like that. You know, there's no marketing time or stream time or anything like that, which makes sense. I mean, that's fine.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and that's, I think it's kind of important to say, because I know I've seen some people lately, understandably, you know, interested in knowing what's next, right? What's coming out next? Because it has been a while since they announced anything. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, I know Wolf and Rat just officially came out, but I mean, they previewed it back in August, right?
Right. And then we had all the cards knowledge from Gen Con.
Gen Con, yeah, in September. So, but like, I think it's pretty clear that, you know, this wasn't the plan going in, and they've been sort of having to react to all the shipping stuff we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's why it's like, it's hard to really, I mean, I would obviously like to know, like, what's the plan for rotation? What's the plan for all this new stuff? But I mean, I also can't really fault them for not having one at this point, because like, I think it's fair to not want to commit to like, we will have releases on this, you know, this and this month and stuff, because of the way that things are right now.
Yeah, that's just not possible anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, which, you know, which sucks. But I would rather them, I guess I would kind of rather them know that and not try to pretend and then continuously have to be like, oh, it's, you know, we're not going to be able to meet that.
Yeah.
Rather than, yeah, pretending that they're going to be able to do it, and then it just doesn't work.
All right. So let's see, future. No, this is probably going to be a bummer part, but future events.
Yeah, right.
We were just talking about how with the way things are going, it's given me massive deja vu to like back to the beginning of the pandemic with new variant and numbers rising again. So it's kind of probably not a great outlook for events right now.
Yeah, I think this
local ones.
Yeah, this would have been a much more optimistic segment if we had recorded this a couple of weeks ago. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, ultimately, like, I don't want to be too dramatic, right? Like, the game will live and die on its own. But like, to be a quote unquote competitive card game, you need to have competitive events, right? Like, that's just, I mean, it's kind of, otherwise you're just a game. And like, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with just playing a game at all. And I'm still interested in Rivals, right? But like, if you want to be a competitive card game, you need to have competitive events. And obviously that's been really difficult this past year and looked like it was going to get better. And then, yeah, right now it seems pessimistic, but you know, I know they want to have at least one Prince event on the East Coast. Hopefully our West Coast friends will also get a Prince event, and hopefully our EU friends will get, you know, at least a couple Prince events next year, assuming obviously, you know, pandemic and everything notwithstanding, knock on wood and all that stuff. You know, hopefully they get some of Prince events, because like we said, I mean, we really enjoyed Gen Con. We thought it was really cool. It seemed like people got into the game. And so I think it's pretty fair to say that we want everybody to be able to experience that, you know, without having to fly across the country or, you know, across a continent or whatever. You know, obviously not much we can do. I'm not sure how much Renegade can do.
What can we do to stop the global pandemic?
Exactly. Oh, turns out two podcasters from a card game.
Colton Beck
figured it all out.
Yeah, because not only obviously the game itself is fun. It is great to play. But one of the best things about any game is like the stories and the stories you hear about, you know, crazy plays or even just like going to the bar after like a big event and just decompressing over the day. Like, that's what I always love to hear about and participate in. So like the current state of things, which is like literally working against all of that, is quite depressing.
Right.
But we'll get there eventually.
Right. And, you know, and also I like to hear about different decks. I was always notorious in our Thrones group for being the guy who, you know, looked at all the European decks and would play very Euro decks. You know, and so like I always like seeing other people's ideas and building, you know, kind of that global community and like building off people building off of each other's ideas and everything. You know, and that's something we haven't had for a few reasons. I mean, you know, I know they finally released the official deck builder. There's also the unofficial one. We'll see.
Oh yeah, we didn't even talk about that for the present.
I know we didn't.
That's but... yeah. So let's backtrack for a minute. So Renegade released the official deck builder. It's on their site. You can, I think, you have to register to use it. So that's out, and they also put out the. I'm not sure what they called it, but it's essentially like an events calendar. So you can submit your event. I think it has to get manually approved right now. But there is a way to like go and look for events. So hopefully once things are getting back into the groove of things, that will be a busy webpage.
Yes. Yeah. Cause I think that's something too, that I wanted to touch on, right. Is like, I like both those things. It's, you know, if I had some criticism, it's maybe a little bit frustrating that it took so long for them to come out. Obviously don't know any of the internals, but it's good that they're out now, you know? And so I would like to see them continue to be supported and grow in the future. You know, like I already know, Matt Holland has been listening and to feedback on the event system, which mm-hmm. is good. And like, I would love for that to continue. Right. Because, you know, it sounds like, really, to be honest, it sounds like neither the deck builder nor the event system is, you know, perfect right now by any means. But I would rather have a work in progress system with somebody listening and improving it than a good system that doesn't have any feedback, right?
Yeah.
Because you can take a work in progress up to good, right? Or at least theoretically. You know, I admit I'm still not, I wouldn't say skeptical. I am, I'll be interested to see how the deck builder goes. I'll put it that way. Right. Because like I said, there is an unofficial one. So we'll kind of have to see which one people use. Will people use both? Well, you know, will people gravitate? Will people use one or the other? Who knows? I don't know. We'll have to see how it goes, but you know, it's encouraging that they're putting in the effort to have the tools available.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. Right.
Yeah. And like, even with something as in the age of social media, something as simple as like an event listing might seem small, but like, imagine you're new to the game and you don't know any of the Facebook groups. You don't know any of the Discords. But you obviously know who makes the game and you probably are going to the website and hey, you see the event listing and you know, yep. You could search by location, I think is going to be a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like, you know, that's a great way for someone brand new to like break their way into the community, because there's been games where like I've wanted to see more of the community and it's like a hassle to go find it. And like, that sucks. That like, you don't want to have to feel like that.
Yeah, right, for sure. And so that's, speaking of another thing, right? Like I think that the Discord and the activity they do on the Discord is great and it's awesome. And it's been really helpful for, I think both of us and a lot of people in sort of getting and staying engaged with the game. I would hope for the future, another thing I would like, right, is if they would kind of link that into the website more. I know some people have kind of commented that the website feels like it's not up to date with news and everything. I think mm-hmm. just a pretty simple thing of like semi-regularly, you know, when news comes out, they do a really good job of putting it in Discord, but like also putting that on the website and maybe having the website more prominently linked to the Discord. You know, just kind of, I think it's a lot of, or not a lot of, I think there's a couple of little things they could do on the website, right? I don't think it's like, oh, they need to just totally change everything about how they interact. But like, there's a couple little things I think they could add to the website just to, so that, like you said, if somebody doesn't know anything about it and just sees the game and it's interested in it, they can go to the website and like see that it's got an active community, you know? Because that's really what you want. Like, you, what you don't want is people to go to the website and just say, oh, eh, and bounce off of it. You want people to be able to see that there's an active community.
Yeah, and I know there's also the forum exists, but unfortunately, I think the age of the forum is come and gone. I haven't even looked on that, and I wouldn't be surprised if there's not much activity there.
Right.
But yeah, so I think that's a good thing to hope for the future. If people are listening that have that power and can take that into advisement, that's, I think there's a non-zero amount of people that would use these types of resources.
Right. Yep. Yeah. You know, so I think overall, you know, I'm excited about the future. Mm-hmm. I think we both are. So any of the criticisms obviously come out of a place of wanting the game to be, you know, accessible and as many people as possible to play it so that we can find people and play against them.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not out here wasting our effort into something we don't like.
Yes. Yes.
Like, yeah. If I am unhappy with something, it will well be known.
Yes. Yeah. So,
Some self-reflection.
Yeah. So yeah, transitioning that to us, right? What do we want for ourselves next year, specifically in regards to Rivals and or the podcast, right? I don't think anybody wants to hear about our New Year's resolutions or anything.
Yeah. Well, we've mentioned it a couple times previously and on this episode, but we want to play more.
Yes.
That's an easy one.
Yes, it has been busy the last couple months.
Yes.
And yeah, unfortunately, Rivals has, you know, I haven't been able to spend as much time in Rivals as I would like.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of true of a lot of hobbies and everything, right? It's always, you know.
Yeah, oh, and man, like normally I don't mind playing something like over webcam or something like that, but something about this game really makes me want to play it with people. I don't know what it is. It's not just because of the multiplayer aspect, but something about it is like, I just want to sit down and actually play this with somebody.
Right.
Yeah. We'll see how that goes.
Right. Yeah. And I would say that's for me, you know, with the move, I mean, it's been good for a lot of reasons, but not getting as much face-to-face game time, especially, you know, again, especially with Rivals, that's been a consequence for me. Right. So I would like to find more ways to play, whether that's, you know, maybe finding a local community, which would be awesome, or playing more online with people, you know, whatever that looks like. I would like to play more because I enjoy the game, and kind of like you were saying earlier, there's so many different decks I want to play that I haven't had the chance to. You know, I'd like to actually finally get to sit down and play some of those ideas.
Yeah, I think I need, once the holidays are over with and, you know, all those obligations are done with, I really do want to buckle down and maybe work with my local game store or just through myself in like actually getting some events going. Cause like the couple times we played in person, that was just like, hey, you guys want to meet up at, we literally played at a brewery. So we just met up at a brewery and we just played a game. It blew some guy's mind who used to play Magic. It was a whole thing.
Yeah, I remember that.
So yeah, I am going to try to focus on being the change I want to see in my community.
Yeah, there you go. I just found the other, like last weekend, I just found a cool local brewery. So if you want to just make the drive, then I'm happy to play.
I will not commit to that.
Fine. You get an hour going back. That's
oh yeah. But then I have to go to Indiana. There's good things in Indiana. Yeah, but I don't know if it's worth the drive.
That's fair.
Well, if there are actual, we'll call it premier events, and I don't know, this might be arrogance or just ambitious, but I want to like make a top cut because I've yet to actually do that in any of the games that I've played.
Yeah. No, I think that's a good goal. I know I've talked about, I've said on the Discord, you know, I've actually talked to one of the Chicago crew. If there is something at PAX U this year, PAX Unplugged in Philly, I would really like to go. Or if there's something on the East Coast in general, I think I would at least be open to traveling there. Mm-hmm. Haven't really been much. Would like to go to another big event. Obviously, now, you know, we'll almost certainly be at Gen Con again, especially if there's a Rivals event. But yeah, it would be nice to make a cut. You know, I'm also interested, excuse me, even in like what the smaller competitive events look like, right? Like, you know, in the FFG model of kind of store championship, regional, national, worlds. And I, you know, not that I expect them to do the exact same thing, right? But because I think Prince is sort of in between a nationals and a regional. It's kind of bigger than a regional, but maybe smaller than a national championship. Mm-hmm. And I don't necessarily think they'll have the store championship level exactly, but I would kind of like to see something in between the generic generic OP kits are, I don't know, not quite a store championship to me, right? Like they're kind of like
they're running events. Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think of anything under Prince because it's been so long, right. But yeah, I think if Renegade wanted to do something to bridge that gap, now is probably the time, since large regional events are so nebulous, but smaller ones are easier to run for the communities that want to run them. Like, if they had any plans for what to do for like a store championship, and I think they've either mentioned the desire to, or I might be misremembering like wording in the tournament document that like references smaller events. Mm-hmm. But either way, rambling, now is the time to maybe either execute those plans if they already have them, or start thinking about them. Because I think if, like you said, I'm one of those players that needs to have a competitive game that they play with people like for prizes and stuff like that. And I'm sure there's lots of people like that. And with the future being so clouded for large events like that, building a network of store events would probably go a long way of keeping the game going.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You know, and I don't think you necessarily need to have, like I was saying, I don't think you necessarily need to have the sort of whole feeder structure.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as that might be nice, I think that it's, and in a lot of ways, it's maybe putting the cart ahead of the horse, right? Because both for Vampire specifically and just in general, like, I mean, like we've been talking about this whole time, right? Like we haven't been playing competitive events for a while. So it's, I don't think it makes sense from either Renegade's perspective or a player's perspective to suddenly be like, okay, go right into your whole tournament structure.
Right.
But having something would be good. You know, like I know there's been a couple of people asking about like demo events and like, how can, you know, can we run demos or whatever? And I think that's a cool idea too. And not that a tournament is exactly the same thing, but I think it does kind of fill a similar role, right? Like when you see a bunch of people in a store all playing the same game, that is something that gets people interested. And so like having a tournament, you know, cause demo events are great, but they also don't really do much for existing players.
Right.
Yeah. Typically.
You have to have that mindset to like want to build your community.
Right.
Because like that's literally what it does. And I'm not going to speak for everyone, but I don't think that that's the most common mindset of a lot of players.
Right. I mean,
you know, fairly, they just want to show up and play, which is fine. I'm not damning anyone for that. But I do think it takes a special like individual that wants to sit down and walk through a game with someone and get their interest and try to get them integrated in the community.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, again, like, I think demos are great and I would love there to be more official demo support. But I, like I said, I think that sort of a local tournament type of thing, a store championship or whatever, is another way to do that and a way to get maybe a slightly different type of player interested, but also a way to keep your current players interested, you know, is by having events that they can go and do stuff. Like, again, not in place of the current kits, because I think the current kits are cool. I like them. You know, it's good to have a participation type of event for a local store, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's also very important, but it's also nice to have something that's a little more exclusive pricing, you know, so that it's like, hey, you can go to this and do well, and get something again. Not like you have to be the one person out of, you know, 60 people to win this, but
yeah,
I don't know. Yeah.
Tokens. Nice. Everybody likes fancy tokens.
Yep. Everybody likes swag.
All right. Well, yeah, I think that's, we can't figure too far into the future.
That's right. Yeah.
It's just weird times.
Yep. And, you know, obviously we can't talk too much about the future without knowing, cause we don't really know any of the future plans right now. All we kind of have is, you know, we're pretty confident that there are more cards coming, but we don't know anything about them. We're pretty confident that there will be events next year, but we don't know anything about them. You know, that's just kind of the position we're in right now. So, yeah, so I think that's why we kind of wanted to, which in some ways makes it hard to talk about the future, but in some ways it also means we're free to just sort of go on and do, you know, say whatever we want without being constrained to talking about a specific
thing. Baseless speculation.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm hoping that since with the delays of Wolf Rant specifically putting it kind of like right on the cusp of holiday season, I'm hoping that they're going to come out swinging after that, give us like either like the full Blood and Alchemy page like they did last time with like a couple different card fans, or at minimum give us the leader previews like we did for Wolf and Rat.
Yeah, I'm definitely hoping that too. I mean, I've been kind of saying for a while, it was kind of my feeling when we didn't get a preview in like early November. I kind of wondered if they would wait until next year, just because between shipping and again the holiday season, like I wouldn't expect them to preview something right now. Like, it just doesn't make sense to preview a brand new product a week before Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, so, but yeah, I'm definitely hoping that they preview some stuff, and hopefully more than just the two leaders, because, you know, we could,
I think this week, like the big, like, here's everything. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, I'm happy with our episodes. I think we've had some interesting episodes, but I'm ready to do some real crunchy diving into card episodes again.
Yeah, totally.
It's been a minute.
Well, you know, we like cards in the card game.
Yep.
All right. Well, I think that is going to put a wrap on our episode tonight. Like I said, this is going to be our last one for the year. So hope everyone has a great end of their year. Happy holidays, all that jazz.
Yes. And for the rest of 2021, this will be the final little time you get to hear me say, stay spooky.
Good evening, everyone.